Good afternoon, everyone. Thanks for joining us. It's a great topic today that we are going to be talking about. I wanted to introduce Ben Foss, and I met Ben, I think it's about 5 years ago now, Ben, and we met at a conference in San Francisco called TRLD, Technology Reading and Learning Differences, and it is always a pleasure to work with Ben. Ben has a wealth of information and has been able to bring the Intel Reader, and he will tell us a little bit more about his history as well. I'm Brenda McBride. I'm the brand manager for HumanWare in the area of learning disabilities, and I also have Greg Stilson joining us, and he will tell you a little bit more about what he does, but you many times will have Greg is able to do wonderful support calls and does presentations about Braille literacy and is just a wealth of information for us as well. So that kind of gives you a little heads up of who we are, and we're going to move forward. I'm going to pass the presentation over to Ben, and we look forward to your questions and to be able to give you some great information about the Intel Reader, some specials that we have, and how to implement this within the classroom and what's been going on. So thanks for joining us. Thanks, Ben. I'm going to pass it over to you.
Great. Well, thank you very much, Brenda, and I'm glad to be here with Greg and with Brenda to talk about the Intel Reader and the HumanWare offering today. My title is Director of Access Technology, and I actually led the team that made this product at Intel. I filed the first patents on it a number of years ago, and of course our lawyers want us to show you the disclaimer, so I think we've done that now. We can move on. Let me give you a quick overview of what the Intel Visual Health Group does. We provide technology that is for three different purposes. One is for independent living. You can see the Intel Reader there. That's to keep people able to do school or to stay in their home longer and be able to be independent in the workplace or in school. We also do remote healthcare management, which is in order to help seniors stay in their home so that they can have information privately and securely shared with their doctors. And then finally, we do healthcare IT, which is information technology for healthcare. That includes, for example, sterilizable laptops or other things like that that are designed to help with that type of an environment. Now, I should tell you a little bit about myself. I'm dyslexic, which is part of what got me interested in these technologies. As a kid, I used to rely on my mom and have her read a lot of things out loud to me. When I went to college, I used to fax my term papers home to her, and she would read them to me over the phone so that I could get access that text. And what I've found over the years is that having started to use technology, I don't have to rely on my mom, which is good for me, and it's also good for her. This is an fMRI, a functional magnetic resonance image of a human brain. It's actually multiple human brains. On the left side is a composite of a number of people showing activity in an area called the temporoparietal lobe. That's where automatic reading happens in a mainstream reader. I'm the person on the right. That's actually my brain that's been scanned there, and you'll see there's very little activity in that region of the brain. And that is, I think, a nice physical marker that shows the disability and also that, of course, you are able to do any kind of, many kinds of very practical and useful things as a person with a disability. So I always like to highlight that. I want to move on now and show you a little bit about the Intel Reader so that you have some context for this product and its usage in a classroom or in an environment for work. So we'll progress further into the slide set. I should note that if you want to get a demo about the Intel Reader, you can get more information online. You can just Google Intel Reader Demo Part 1, and that will provide you with information about the Intel Reader. There's a great little video there. It's actually myself doing it. 10-minute video, basic usage, very effective, and there is actually demo part 2 as well, which you'll see when you get there. So moving forward in the slide set, we want to highlight today a number of different features and elements of the Intel Reader. Obviously, mobile usage is very important. You can use this device on the go. Here, the student is using it to capture a textbook. This could be also used in a restaurant or in a social situation if you're out of the museum, something like that. So that's useful. You can have playback in a quiet, personalized way. So in a classroom, you can have individuals listening on headphones so they don't interrupt other kids. It also improves both for students with visual impairments. You can increase the font size. If someone has any vision, they often can read one or two words on the screen at full screen resolution. Or a student with a learning disability might like to track the words and this can increase their ability to absorb language and actually improve reading over time. We'd like to also highlight the users who use this technology. This is an image of Dory Rush, who is at the Lighthouse International, and she talks about using this as an inclusive technology that allows her to get access to all kinds of different things. And she also talks about practical usages, like cooking. She likes to cook, and she likes to have access to her recipes. I've actually had banana bread at her house. It's quite good. And then also just tasks, daily living, being able to deal with her own mail, know whether something is junk mail and whether she should make sure to save it or chuck it. So that's one end of the spectrum. Another end is a teenager. This is Travis, a 14-year-old boy, lives in California, and he has the ability to get access to text that he wouldn't have without the access of the Intel Reader. His teacher, who's an assistant director at his school, talked about the improvement she'd seen in behavior and confidence for Travis, and that it meant that he got access to text on his terms with access allowing. So he came into class, and he used to kind of slouch and curl up but not really want to participate. And once he got the reader in his hands, in her words, he swaggered in, very confident, and she found it to be absolutely transformational for him. He also even went in and advocated for himself in class, talking about using it, and then also even going into his own IEP and asking for this technology. So a really powerful, transformative experience for him. So overall, empowerment, mobility, multimodal reading, so you can do all kinds of different types of reading, books, MP3s, and other things like that. And then the ability to import and export files is a very big piece of it. And I'll show you one or two slides on that. The Intel Reader can output multiple formats. So you can, for example, create a DAISY book or a text file or even an MP3 and bring that over to your computer. You can also put it onto a Classmate, onto a Victor Reader Stream, onto a Braille Note, or into desktop software such as Read Out Loud 6. The final form factor, which is obviously one of the most common, is the MP3 player. It can play on an MP3 player, so a student on a bus can take an audiobook. Having taken a picture of the page, they can get access to that book and have it accessible to them in their, you know, daily lives, which is great. One of the things we like to talk about is a humanware element called My Dream Classroom. It's available on their website, and it goes through, and you can learn about all these different technologies. You can learn about Bookshare, about recording for the blind and dyslexic, both of which formats will play on the Intel Reader and on other devices from HumanWare. And then there's also more information about the technology that students can use in class to be independent and how that drives it. So that's available on the website, and Brenda can probably share a little bit more about that. The final thing I'll say is that for importing files, the Intel Reader allows you to take multiple formats and bring it onto the device, so DAISY format, or NIMUS format, those are standard formats for accessibility, as well as text files or MP3s, you can load them onto the reader and have it read aloud. So in that context, you get a lot of independence. I think I'll pause there and see if there's any comments from Brenda or Greg, or whether there's any questions on the bridge so far.
So myself, one of the parts of my job is the development out of our blindness products, and myself, I am a blind individual, and I deal with the development and the support of a lot of our blindness products. So you're talking the Victor Reader Stream and the Braille Note, and our Braille devices, and where the Intel Reader really shines is sort of as a centerpiece for all of the products that Ben had mentioned. But from a blindness side, it works as a center, kind of mobile creator of content for these devices. These devices can play DAISY content or MP3 or text content, but it has to be created somewhere. And so the Intel Reader really does a great job at that creation capability of that point, shoot, and listen object that we were talking about. And with the Braille aspect, when you're dealing with a Braille Note, for instance, which has a refreshable Braille display, you have the capability to live in a classroom or something along those lines, and that a teacher brings a worksheet that all of a sudden has come up at the last minute. In the past, the student would either have to have it read to them, or it would have to be created or in Braille at a later date or time. And in this, you picture the atmosphere of a teacher handing out a piece of paper in class, and then all of a sudden you can take out your Intel Reader, snap a picture, and plug in your Intel Reader into your Braille note and instantly have Braille output so that the blind student can read it. As Ben also mentioned, you have the capability to enlarge the text or change the background color, things like that. So it's really a device that works for all sorts of print disabilities, regardless of whether it's learning disabled or blind, low vision. It's a device that really shines in all three aspects.
What I like, Greg, and what he was talking about was that really it provides a multi-sensory approach where you're both able to see and hear. And the other aspect when I look at the Classmate Reader and the Victor Reader Stream is then we are also able to engage in that text by putting in voice notes as well, which I think is wonderful. But with the Braille note, we are able to feel the text as it's going by when you've captured that material. So you are, and Greg, please talk about the power of that when you look at, say, the word to and what that provides as a student receiving that information.
Yeah, when you think of it, when you're listening to something, you hear the same word can be pronounced by a speech synthesizer, you know, several different ways, but it may be the inappropriate way of using that word in the context of your sentence. And with the Braille output, having that instant Braille output when you plug in the Intel Reader after snapping a picture or something like that, after snapping a picture and turning it into a text file, you instantaneously have that Braille output. It's almost like getting handed a piece of Braille. But, you know, as Ben had mentioned, you now have the independence to be able to read and listen to that right on the go. So it's that portable aspect. Another example would be as a blind person, I get a lot of mail, and, you know, it's really difficult to be able to determine what mail is good and what is, you know, I don't want to throw away my paycheck or something in the mail. So you want to discern which piece is junk and which is not. And the Intel Reader is a really quick way to snap a picture of your mail and determine, yes, this is something I got to file or something I got to pitch, you know. So it's that gain of independence that really sets it apart from other devices.
And this is wonderful. I think of the comment that Ben referred to and Greg said, you know, you're handed a newspaper article for history class because you're doing current events. And now with the Intel Reader, you're able to capture that material right now. You don't have to run down and get it scanned, instantly have it, and you are now engaging in that like everyone else is within minutes. So
one of the things we've also seen is for folks, the ease sort of changes the threshold level in terms of getting access to text. And so people begin using this in spaces that they'd never thought of before. One of my favorite stories is about a 14-year-old kid, or actually younger, actually 10 years old, who liked playing the board game Risk. And he took the reader, took it home, and snapped a photo of his instruction book so that he could have it read out loud to him. What did he find out? His friends were cheating. And it gave him... keep going. I'm going to push us forward if I can with the presentation. Have I got control again, Brenda?
You do, and you cut out for a second. So if you can just recap how that, I think what you said probably, Ben, is that leveled the playing field for this student to be able to have access.
It did, yeah. It did, and it meant that he was able to have independence and have confidence in what he was doing that gave him a lot more exposure to written language as something fun and something interesting by playing a board game with it. No response just yet, so I'll see what comes back. There we go. So this is some new features that are available in the 1.01 release. It's a upgrade in the software that you can have, and it's available on the Intel website, or you can find it at HumanMore as well. It's free, and you can download it and upgrade your device. You get some new features. You can change the colors on all the screens, which is great, which means you can have high contrast screens, very useful for both LD and low vision folks. You also can navigate in a different way. So you can navigate by a header or by a page. You can jump to a specific page. Gives you a lot more freedom and flexibility. And then also it adds a new kind of e-books. You can get RFD&D e-books, so you can get content there as well as with Bookshare or MP3s that are already there. And that gives a lot of help, as well as an introduction that's preloaded on the device, so you get that extra ease of use Every time that you fire the device up, it'll offer that opportunity. Once you've mastered the device, you don't need it. The other thing I'd like to highlight is pricing. We have a price special going on right now, almost $600 off. The device is $1,499 is the price we listed at originally, and at the one-year anniversary, we decided to bring the price down given the growth of the market, and that is now $899. And if you buy more than one, it's $799, which is just great. And that is only available until January 31st. So if you're on time, we figured this is the conference season. Everyone's at IDA and ATIA and all of the different shows. Good opportunity to bring price into a special short-term discount. So let's move on. We've got the detail stuff, and jump in if there's any questions. If you see any questions, Brenda, or if we want to open it up to the bridge, we could do that as well.
Ben, I do have one question, and I think it's important,
great.
And we'll
go
through that, and that is, what happens if there are pictures on the page? And this goes back to, we can take a moment to talk about how to take the best picture with the Intel Reader and, you know, how it manages that content and turns it into text for people.
Sure. So there's lots of different types of pictures. The standard one is, let's say there's a picture of, Mark Twain, and you're reading about Mark Twain. It will just ignore that picture and read the text right around it, although it will be captured in the image, so you can go into the toggle into vision mode, into view mode, and see the picture while listening to the text if you have vision. I will tell you, if you have an image that has, for example, words in it, like a map that might have names of the places, so it might have a map of Canada, and it would have, Montreal, and it would have, Toronto. Those names could appear, and you could hear those words, but you won't have it set aside from the text. The other thing that's important about it is we've got heuristics built in to handle layout. So if you read a newspaper, it'll start at the first column and go to the next column and then go to the next column. And it's fairly sophisticated in terms of interpreting when text is intended to be together. Not 100% accurate, but on the whole, it's quite good.
Great. And I'm just bringing up an additional question here. Is there audio for instructions for using this device? So if you can talk about some of the enhanced features for three markets, that would be great.
Yeah, so there's a number of ways to do it. And I want to make for audio instructions, meaning can you get audio instructions, a couple things. There are audio instructions for the device. In the packaging that ships with it, there's an audio CD that has an audio version pre-recorded. We also have a full text version in there that you can easily load as a DAISY file or a text file into another screen reader. So if you had JAW, something like that, and you wanted to read that, you could do it that way. The device itself also has the full manual. If you go into the help section from the home menu, the full manual is there, and there's a preloaded introduction that walks you through the basics of using the device. Finally, there's plenty of video content online. That video content is good for folks who have vision and or it also is quite descriptive in laying out what the device is. So we definitely have engaged that side of it as well.
That's great, Ben. We can continue on. I'm going to just open the mic for Connie and see if she has any further questions regarding that. So I see her hand is raised. Connie, go ahead. I think that we've answered the question. They sent it as a text, but I think that we've answered the question, so you can go on.
Okay, great. So a couple more tips on using the device. Obviously, the big button on the upper right is the shoot button. That's to take a picture. You want to make sure you frame all four corners of a book inside the field of view when you're taking a picture. You don't need to see the actual text. You just need to be able to see the four corners. If you have visual impairments or you're blind, as Greg is, you can lay the object in the center of a book and raise it up above. We've designed it so the camera points downwards, and you can put your elbows on either side of the content. That helps you frame it up and get good tactile orientation. We also want to talk about other elements of usage, and that includes navigation or the ability to get around a document or to change the way in which a document is presented to the end user. And Brenda, I'm trying to engage the slide to move it forward, but I'm having a little delay and latency here on the network. I don't know whether I can move it forward or not. If you have that control, it would be helpful.
While we're waiting for Brenda, Ben, I just want to comment from a blindness side of framing the picture. When you are using the device, as Ben said, it is obviously optimal to be able to visually see all four sides, but by placing your elbows down and lifting it up, say, 2 to 3 feet, if not less, you are going to be able to get a pretty accurate picture on a regular basis. Myself, it just like any device, it is going to take a learning curve, and you're going to have to snap a few bad pictures at first. But you are going to get good pictures once you get the distance correct, and you'll immediately tell just how far you have to pull that up to make sure that all four corners are available. And later on, Ben, we'll get into other devices that can make it easier as well to snap some pictures.
So I see the presentation is catching up with my navigation stuff. I will take us back up. Now, navigating the device and fine-tuning it to your specific usage model, it starts with voice speed. You can modify voice speed, standard voice speed. What I'm speaking at right now is about 100 words a minute. You can slow it down. So if a user is someone who's new to the technology and wants to try it out, you can slow it down and take it down to 70 words a minute, which is very slow. Or you can accelerate the speed up to 400 or 500 words a minute. I'm a power user. I've used this to get through law school, so each day I kind of turned it up a little bit. And I will listen probably about 300 or 400 words a minute, which is common for your power users. Definitely not a mainstream usage model, but we have the flexibility so we can accommodate both ends of the spectrum. The other thing, obviously, is navigating tactile buttons, easy to find, large buttons that you can feel. Center button has an indented element to it, so you can always find it easily. And then the third element is the ability to increase or decrease font size or to toggle between the image or no image. So pressing the plus and minus button will increase a word size. You can get up to 48-point font. And for a student with a learning disability, that means that you can get one word at a time on screen, or someone who might have macular degeneration or diabetic retinopathy, vision loss related to visual impairment, they can get a lot of information off of the screen as well.
Ben, correct me if I'm wrong, but you can, if you switch over to that image, you can increase the size of that image as well. Is that correct?
Yeah, you can magnify it up to 5x, which is great. You can get a pretty significant increase in font and inspect an image up fairly closely if you want. So that's, you get both advantages there. Mm-hmm. The other one is navigating a page, so you can move around at many different levels. It's easy to move between page or sentence or word. And with once you've done that, you can then zoom in, blow up the word. You can spell out a word by holding down the center button. Navigation generally happens by choosing the level you want to navigate. Right now, it's in, for example, on the screen, it's navigating at the sentence mode. If it went down one, it would be word or above that page. And then you use the right or left arrow to navigate through the document. The other things that are important to understand about this device from a usage model have to do with the portable capture station and bulk capture. This station is a fold-out briefcase, and it's designed to make it easy to get through an entire book. I have done a number of 200 or 300-page books. You can complete them in about 10 to 15 minutes of capture time. It takes a little longer in the background for that to process. But there's some great features here. There's cables that you attach that the unit to. You first insert it, then you insert the cables. They're well positioned, that they're easy to find. And then once the book's in the station, there's a plastic clear arm that holds that book flat, and you can take a photograph by pressing the blue button at the front of the station, capturing each image as you go. That gives you a lot of flexibility, and you don't have to raise your arms above your head to do it. Good for seniors. Also increases speed, so you can really turn and burn get through those pages. There's some other features in here for low vision as well, and maybe, Greg, you can speak to some of the advantages of using a station like this.
Yeah, absolutely. It's as I mentioned before, it's not always the easiest task as a blind person to make sure you have all four corners. It takes a little bit of learning and it has a bit of a learning curve to figure that out. But with the capture station, the camera is positioned in a cradle at the top of the capture station, and it's positioned the appropriate distance away from any piece of paper that fits in that capture station. And that ensures the blind person the 100% satisfactory that they're all four corners of the page are going to be viewable. And so it takes the guesswork out of it, and as Ben mentioned, it really speeds up the process. The buttons and the capture station allows the reader itself to be plugged in and charged through the capture station, so you don't have extra cables running around and things like that. Not to mention there's a large button on the base of the capture station that allows you to snap the pictures. So it's very tactile friendly, very simple to use, and as Ben mentioned, with the speed that you're dealing with, the Intel Reader really shines in its processing power in the background. As you're snapping pictures, it's going to be processing all these images in the background without you even knowing it. So you can continue snapping those pictures and turning the pages while it's processing the background. And the best part about it is that clear arm that's going to hold it down allows you to not have to cut off the binding of each of the books anymore. It holds the book flat so that you don't have to deal with cutting the bindings off and sending them through a feeder scanner.
So I think from my perspective, we've covered a lot of the major details here. There's a few other things I would highlight in terms of advanced usages, but I'm curious if there's any questions, Brenda, on the material we've presented so far.
No, I don't think that there's any other further questions at this moment. I'll let them prepare them if they want to, or you can raise your hand as well. Maybe one of the things that we can talk about is what they receive with the packaging and then the comparison.
Sure.
But some other ways that people are using these devices as a school district, for example, might be some really wonderful things for people to know about.
Sure. Well, in terms of what comes with it, I think we've touched on a few things. There's a great carrying case that comes in the packaging. That makes it really easy to take with you on the go. There's cables to connect it to a PC. It connects to a Mac or a Windows PC. It's got a built-in battery, which is detachable. It gets about 5 hours of battery life, which is great. And then all the materials are super accessible. I would note also that the box and all of the packaging is recyclable. We sort of thought about the Earth in addition to our users. In terms of usages, we have seen all kinds of usages. My favorite, obviously, is people who want to have a one-to-one relationship. We just had a school district in Florida buy 500 units, and they're getting every student in their district who has a specific learning disability or visual impairment using this device. And that's just a great situation because the student can then get so many educational benefits both in and outside the classroom. We've seen schools that make a lower commitment, so, for example, get 5 of them on campus and have them as a loaner that students can check out and use for a research project, or that they might have in one of their classrooms as a resource that if people bring in stuff they want to read, they can go over and on their free time go and use it or use it during a reading session. That's a great usage model because then students are bringing content that they're interested in. And enthusiasm for learning is such a precondition for successful learning. If a student is excited about reading a book about skateboarding or about football or about horses, they have the ability to go and get that book and read it, and in the process expose themselves to more and more sophisticated language. So that's definitely high on the list.
Ben, what would you say the learning curve is for a device like this?
What we found is two things. Out of the box, people get about 70% accuracy. We measure the learning curve mainly in accuracy of shooting an image. After about 10 minutes of training, we can get them up to about 90%. And then after about a week, they'll get to about 95%. So from our perspective, it's all about making sure that you have someone who's had a little experience showing them how to use it. That video I mentioned at the beginning, the Intel Reader demo video that you can see on YouTube, is a great starting place. I think we could probably get that on the HumanWare website as well, Brenda, if it's not already there. That little 10-minute session gets you all the basics. It is a new technology, and I think one of the important things is getting students excited about what they're reading. What we found is that some students aren't great with synthetic voices. They just they're, 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 they synthetic voices have come a long way. You know, the old voice that most people know is the Stephen Hawking voice, very computerized. This voice has much more what they call prosody, emphasis, pausing, breath, and that means that students adapt to it more quickly. The other thing, though, is that students should experiment with it and adjust the voice. Try the male voice, try the female voice, try faster, try slower. And if you're working on something they like, if they're reading about the L.A. Lakers and Kobe Bryant's knee injury, or if they're reading about, a beautiful hike that they think they might want to take, they're much more interested in trying the technology and experimenting with it. And then over time, they'll use it for stuff they don't want to read, like their history homework or something like that.
I really like the idea that you talked about is to engage the students in stuff that they like, because this is a new technology. It does take a while to get up and going and really turn that voice into your internal voice. And it takes a while. It's not going to take an hour or so. But one day you just think, well, I'm not even listening. It becomes internal. And it's quite interesting when that happens. So those were some wonderful points and ways to use that. And it allows the students that are reading that have certain decoding skills to now engage in books that their comprehension level is at a higher level, and they can read the books if they can hear them and understand them that all their friends are reading, but they don't have the decoding skills for those other books, and it really opens the doors for these students. So a couple other questions that we have here. For parents, do you know if this is a technology is tax deductible for students that qualify for 504?
It is. There's a provision within the U.S. tax law, and I don't know the Canadian tax law, but in the U.S. tax law, there's a provision for technology for people with disabilities that it is deductible. So that's a good benefit. You also can get support from your schools. We have instances where students had asked for it on their IEP and have it written for individual education plan, and the schools have funded it. That is not uniform. You have to negotiate with your school on that. And then the final place is in employers. We have employers today, for example, Cisco Systems, that has a CEO, John Chambers, who's dyslexic. They've announced that it is a free technology to anyone who needs it who works at Cisco if they have a disability. So they'll provide it for you. So there are many different ways to get it if out of pocket is not the ideal way to do it. Although at the new pricing, it's pretty, that'll cost you less than a laptop. In many cases, so it's a pretty good deal.
Great, and that is true. Another question coming in from us: what type of battery does a portable unit use, and how will it work in portable mode? So, talk about the amount of captures that you can have and the time life of that.
We measure it in hours. The battery itself is built into the unit. If we look at an image, I'll look for a good place for us to show it. I think if we go back up in the presentation, if you have the ability to jump up, there's an image of the teenage girl using it to take a picture of her homework at the beginning. That would be a good place to jump to, although I can probably arrow us back up there. You got it. Keep going. And you'll see in this image, I'll go one more. So when we get there, you'll see that there's a black plastic on the back of the device. The device chassis is made out of magnesium, very sturdy. On the back of the device, that black plastic, all of that is battery. So it's attached to the back of the unit. And it is used as a ability to get a good charge on it. So you get typical usages. You can get about 4 hours of talk time, which translates. You can have it in sleep mode for 5 days. It can sort of carry around like your cell phone does. However, if you're doing bulk capture in that station, you're generally powered, and so you can just kind of take as many as you want. In terms of number of pages, I mean, I guess I could calculate it, but you could take easily 600 pages in that time if you wanted. And the device itself, you can have, depending on what format, if you're loading text on the device, you can have about 500,000 pages. If you're taking images, you can take about 600 images or about 1,200 images. 1,200 images. Let me start from the beginning. 600 images, 1,200 pages, because there's two pages in that image, as you can see. And it's like an iPod. You connect it to your PC, and you just drag and drop the content you want on or off of the device. So that's an important part of the independence that comes with it.
That's great. One of the other things that I wanted to mention, if you are doing multiple pages, like a textbook, and that's the purpose, I highly recommend using the capture station. It's a great way to make sure that you can do images very, very quickly. And so I do recommend that.
We've also seen for school environments, sometimes people want to put capture stations in the school. So they might buy 10 readers and 5 capture stations, put one capture station in each of the major classrooms, and then have the units the students can move around between them. They're interchangeable, so you can walk up to any capture station and use it. The capture station is great for that. It also is useful when you're capturing a thing to break your chapters up into chapters. So you do chapter 1, and then you start a new session, chapter 2, and then you have it organized on your device. When you connect the device to a PC, it shows up just like a memory stick. And so you can go in and add or drop stuff. You can change the name of files. And you can navigate all of that using JAWS or something like that. Greg, that's probably an area where you've done some navigation around the Intel Reader using a desktop interface so that you have that sort of natural environment to work with.
Yeah, absolutely. I use WindowEyes as my screen reader, and it works just like you're dragging or copying and pasting files from a thumb drive or from a portable hard drive to your desktop. And that's where it really shines with our Braille Note Apex, is that when you plug in the Intel Reader, it recognizes it just as an external drive. And at that point, you can take the content that you've taken a picture of and just copy the text file right onto your Apex and have instant Braille output. And that's a huge benefit to using this device.
That is great.
Any questions out there, Brenda?
Yeah, definitely. How does it handle large textbooks? And you talked about two different ways to do it, and I'll have you recap both of those.
Yeah, so large textbooks now, I'm going to answer two different ways. Large meaning there are textbooks that are sort of larger format, and we're fine using any large format. We actually designed the portable capture station here. You can see that's a textbook that's in there right now. It will a standard broadsheet newspaper, so it can handle the size of it, and then the thickness of it, meaning how many pages. Well, you know, if you have a 400-page book, that would take about 200 images, and you should be able to capture that and record it. So you could have 3 400-page textbooks inside your device if you wanted. At any given point, you probably don't need all of those textbooks, so you might do one of two things. You could delete the images associated with it, and then you can have up to 500,000 pages. Or you could take, you know, the first 5 chapters of a number of these books. Let's say 5 chapters was 50 pages. Well, then you could have 6 different books that would be up to 300 pages, so you could actually have 4 times that. You could have 24 different books going at one time. So that gives you a lot of flexibility.
Great. And the other one is to break it up into chapters as well with the book. And so you're able to go in and retitle the files.
So you can say
history, chapter 1, history, chapter 2. One of the other questions?
So the standard naming convention is the standard naming convention is we take the first 25 characters of a text and name it that. And if you don't want to keep that, you can change it on the device. You can rotate through and we have a letter wheel that you can use to do it. Or you can attach to a PC and just rewrite the names there.
Great, and that's perfect. One of the other questions is, what is the warranty period?
So the warranty in the United States is 1 year, and that's a full manufacturer's warranty, and we will, you know, any mistake on our part, we'll definitely replace it. We also have Intel support and service. It's an Intel 800 number that you call if you have any problems, or you can call Humanware, where you have their great customer support. They have, in addition to standard support, they also have folks who have visual impairments who answer all kinds of calls, so that can be useful if that's a relevant factor. And then the other thing is, if you're in Europe, I can tell you that the warranty is 2 years. Now, you didn't hear it from me, but it's the same product. So you can go and figure out, that's just a European regulatory thing requires that we have a 2-year warranty, and so that might tell you something about the likelihood that you're going to have a high-quality product.
One of the other things, Ben, that they were talking about, is the with the Intel Reader, if you are importing a textbook from another resource, say Bookshare, that's very large, how does it handle that?
It's great. It depends on the format. So if it's a Bookshare book, they're usually text, and actually there can be a huge number of pages, but it's actually not that physically large a file. If you're importing a book that is a pre-recorded audiobook, RFB&B, for example, those books can be larger in size, and it'll depend on the format and on the fidelity of the recording. But I can tell you, backup, you have two options. One, you can always drag and drop and move stuff on and off the device. The other thing is that the memory stick port on the device is there. So you could have a very large, for example, we've seen people put RFB&B books, a number of them, you can get a 50 gig key inserted into the reader, and you have access to all those books immediately because we can read an external drive. So that's another option for mobility.
Great, and one of the other questions goes back to how does the Intel Reader handle photography, photographs on a page?
So if there's a photograph, it will ignore it unless there happens to be text inside that photo. So if you had, for example, a picture that had, a map that had names on it, or it had a chart embedded in it that had a lot of words, it will attempt to read those words. It will have mixed success because oftentimes in a photograph, the words aren't totally clear. But if it's standard text, we'll read it well, and if it's an image, we will ignore it.
Great. Another, just a couple more questions here, and then we'll go on to a couple more slides to give you a little bit more information. How long will the battery last before it has to be replaced?
You know, the total cycle charges on it are certainly beyond the warranty. I don't have an exact number. It sort of depends on your usage and whether you're draining it and recharging it completely every day. There are some things you can do to preserve, and this is just generally true of batteries, not unique to the Intel Reader, but you do better to use a battery all the way down and then recharge it all the way than you do to, charge it and use it a little bit and charge it and use it a little bit. That's just has to do with the chemistry of batteries. But I can't give you an exact number. I can tell you it definitely lasts the duration. I've been using my devices for over, I've had them pre-launch, and so I've been using mine for more than a year and a half, and I haven't seen any change in my battery life. But I couldn't give you an exact answer on the number of cycles.
That's okay. There is another question, kind of about Math XML, and this is a great question as we go into this area that's really being developed in the whole accessible piece. So this has to do with how does it handle reading numbers, math text? Will it read it as the question is written, if the question is a vertical font, or does it skip the top line of four questions that are side by side?
So what it will do with math is it'll read it as though it's an English sentence, which is not a great response for hardcore mathematics. If it's a word problem in a math book, we'll do great. If you have a complex formula that is, the quadratic equation or something like that, we're not going to do a very good job with it. It's not set up to do math well. We don't have Math XML. In a future generation, that is something that we're evaluating, and we might introduce it. I can tell you that the capability is built in. We have a DAISY reader built in, so it would be an extension that we would add to the device at a later date. But at this point, it is not ideal for reading complex mathematics.
Great. Those are some great questions. So, Ben, that's our questions at this time. I'm wondering if you wanted to go to the end of our PowerPoint and show them what they would find if they connected this to their computer or if they were transferring to other devices. And actually, let's do the comparison of the e-readers because that's a critical question in today's society.
So one of the things we like to do is highlight how the Intel Reader is different than typical e-readers. If you think about the readers that are out there, you guys all know the brands that are out there. You get some advantages that come with the Intel Reader, the ability to capture printed text and the ability to have it read aloud. Some devices will read text aloud. However, what we found is that in many cases, publishers will lock that content and make it so it's not something you have access to. And that that is a downside, then you're sort of at the whim of the publisher. Here you have complete control of it, and the way copyright is set up, the individual can have personal use of that content. So that's great. You got the camera in there and then the ability to read books. But one thing that's not in many of those books, those e-books, is being able to read those materials like the bills or the receipts, a menu, the rule books for a game. That stuff isn't generally available. In the same place, you have the ability to get any capture, any printed material, as opposed to having a sort of limited marketplace. So, for example, if there's a medical book that you want to read, or there's a book that's, you know, not the Da Vinci Code, but is a less popular book, may not be available in some of the e-readers that are out there, but you could go and capture it with the Intel Reader. The final piece, and I think Greg can probably speak to this better than I can, about the accessibility of the menus and the audible tones and navigation there. And maybe you could describe some of that relative to some of the other e-readers that are out there.
You know, when you look at it compared to a lot of the mainstream e-readers and things like that, touchscreen has become the way to go, at least in these mainstream technologies. And unfortunately for a visually impaired person, it's not the most accessible thing out there. The Intel Reader, all the buttons, all the menus are audibly announced, described, and everything like that. But the buttons are all tactile as well. So you have your shooting your what I call the trigger on the upper right hand corner. That's how you take the pictures. But all the other buttons, your arrow keys, your navigation, your menu keys, things like that, they're all tactile and they're all very easy, very simple to find. And some of the keys are even different shaped. So that my example is the buttons on the side of the device that turns the volume up and down. You can actually physically feel the plus and the minus signs to tell you how to turn the volume up and down. The other device or the other buttons that increase and decrease the font are different shapes and things like that as well. So very, very simple to use, very simple to find the buttons that you need.
I think that covers most of what we wanted to touch on today, and I can throw in one or two more things about the ways that you get access to the material, if it is not if you want to connect to a PC, we can just show that to folks through the interface here. Basically, you go and it shows up as an external drive when you attach it to your computer. It looks, it just says Intel Reader, or if you're navigating in JAWS, you would hear Intel Reader. Then you pop it open, then there's audio and text, and then you can go into a specific book. So you see Alice's Adventures in Wonderland is listed as one of the texts that's on board, and you can go in and capture that. You can also go the other way, which is you can drag, you know, a text file or material onto it. And once you get into that file, you'll find these different formats. There's the images, there's the text file, there's navigation cues that tell you from a DAISY perspective and have it marked up. And you can pick whatever format you're looking for and pull that out of the file. Or you can add in more text or images if you want to integrate them into that file as well. So it gives you a lot of independence in that context. I think the one thing I would say in closing is that, you know, I use this device. I use it every day, and I use it because I was frustrated with the other options out there. People say the mother of invention is necessity. I think they're wrong. I think the mother of invention is frustration, and I was really frustrated. And so this device is designed to be easy to use. It does require some getting used to and some training. There's some material we've made available to you guys, that web, the Intel Reader demo video is a great place to start, or just working with HumanWare to get a demo at your place of work or at your school and try it out and see if it's a good fit for you. We've got a lot of really satisfied folks, and it gets people access to text on their terms, which I think is the most important thing.
That's wonderful.
One thing I also want to add is that at the major shows, when you look at, let's say, ATIA or CSUN, things like that, we always have demonstrations at our booth where you can come by and snap some pictures, take some images and things like that. I did a presentation at ATIA, and one of the big points that I like that Ben mentioned is that after 10 minutes, you can use this device with great accuracy. And the people who were in my session at ATIA saw that firsthand, that at first maybe it wasn't exactly the results that they were expecting, but a couple, you know, snaps later, and they were able to get a much higher quality result out of the Intel Reader. And you left that session feeling pretty good about your capability to capture images and things like that. So it's another place that you can come by and see the device in action as well.
I wanted to thank Ben and Greg for joining us. It's been an absolute delight having you on here, being able to share some of the stories that we are encountering out on the road and ways in which we can help and address the questions that you have for us. So it is always a pleasure for us for you to join us and for us to share this information. So we look forward to you coming back into the webinar room as we continue to share this information. And I want to say a big thank you to Ben and Greg for joining us today and sharing your insights about the power of the Intel Reader and how we can use that to support individuals all over the world.